Hallelujah. Your Father loves you. He loves you. The fire and the storm is not Him. Don't ever confuse that. And He's not using it to teach you something. But what's on the other side? What is it? What is it that's there? Who is it that's there that He wants you to reach that place, that person? But it's not comfortable right now. What did Alan talk about this morning? What did he share this morning? You see, religion wants you to have this idea. They sell this idea of happiness. That it's all about your happiness. I can tell you something. You can have all kind of happiness and not have a lick of peace inside of you. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can have all kind of happiness. That's temporal. That'll change. It goes from one day to the next. One day you're happy, the next day you're sad, whatever. With Jesus, it's peace, not happiness. Hallelujah. What we're going to talk about today is how that true surrender is the pathway to peace. It's the only pathway to peace. You can't get to peace any other way. You can't get there. And peace and happiness, that's not the same thing. We don't teach you here that you can go live however you want to and enjoy the peace of God. Religion teaches you, just come here, wherever that may be, partake of what we have for you, and just go live your life and be happy. We don't teach you that, because that's not truth. That's what the soul likes to hear. And as unpopular as it is at times, we just don't tell you what you want to hear. We tell you what the Holy Ghost wants you to hear. And then you're responsible for it. Whatever you do with it, it's up to you. So what we're going to do, first of all, since he'd already been dealing with me yesterday, I already asked someone to share some music with us in line with all that's been said already. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, I remember way back hearing those songs as I grew up, singing that over and over again, Sunday morning after Sunday morning. I surrender all. I surrender all. I remember that. I remember that day in 1989 that I finally did surrender. Before then, I was just singing a song. And at that moment, I surrendered as much of me as I could at that moment. Was that all of me? No. It was as much of me as I could surrender at that moment. There was a lot of transformation ahead of me. And what God has shown me is that I can't surrender beyond my level of transformation. I can't do it. I can kid myself and think that I've given all to Him. But when the rubber meets the road, the reality is this. As much transformation as I've undertaken to transform into His image and likeness, that's the degree to which I can surrender to Him. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. So for a person that just attends church, enjoys singing a wonderful song, you can get goosebumps. You can feel great. It feels great. Yes, I surrender all, Jesus. I surrender everything. And just like Alan in the first service was talking about the Bible school student, I guarantee that those Bible school students that Alan was talking about committed their whole year to going to that Bible school, I'm sure they were sitting there saying, I surrender all, Jesus. I surrender all. And then something happens 6 months into their year of commitment. God told me to go back home. And here's Alan trying to rescue them. No, see, that's just the pressure that the enemy is putting against you right now to try and turn you, to try and get you to move away from where you are now with the idea that if I go away from this, I'll get back into peace again, because right now I'm not in peace. I'm in turmoil. Well, what part of you is really in turmoil? Is it your soul? Is it your emotions? Because your new reborn human spirit, that's where peace comes from, and that's where peace resides. You can have all kind of war all around you. And we'll look at someone today in just that circumstance. All kind of turmoil. An enemy can be throwing all kind of lifelines at you. Here, take this one. Here, take this one. This will lead you into peace. No, it'll lead you into a place of calmness, but not peace. And that calmness is only temporary. Here, come this way. Come over here. No, I am transforming into the image of Christ. This is the process. No, this is easier. Come here. Come here. Come this way, the enemy will say. Come over here. Relieve that pressure right now. Why do you want to endure that pressure anyway? Why? You're saved. You're going to go to heaven. Why even put yourself through that? For why? You ever asked yourself that? Why am I doing this message? Why am I going through this transformation process? Why am I subjecting myself to this kind of turmoil? Why? I looked at my friends that go to such and such church. They're not in turmoil. They're quite happy. In fact, he's getting raises on his job. They have a beautiful house. They have all of the amenities of life. Everything looks so easy. And here I am. I'm barely paying my bills. My kids seem like they're always sick. I have fights with my wife. What's going on? Just because they look like they're living in peace, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. I would rather live my life smack dab in the perfect will, plan, and purpose of God, no matter what it meant as far as my flesh is concerned, as opposed to living a life of ease. And there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, if I get a little clean area in life and it's a little easy, praise God, I'm happy about it. I'm not looking for a fight. Okay, I'm not looking for a struggle. And there's no honor patch for the struggle like what Alan was saying this morning. But just because you might be in one, don't run from it. Hear what I'm saying? Don't run. Just because you might be in it, don't run from it. Did you hear him back there when he said, go this way? Yeah. And you obeyed him and he came this way? Yeah. And you know that was him? Yeah. I know that was him. And it brought me up to this place. And now I'm here. And the fire's hot. And I don't like it. I think I'll stop praying in tongues now. That'll solve everything. Sure it will. I think I'll stop reading the Bible. I'll spend more time watching TV. It really helps me. It helps my soulish man. My soulish man takes comfort in that. So why do this? Why? We're going to look at, first of all, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to, we're going to use that as the starting point. So open your Bibles there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The pathway to peace is surrender. I actually taught a similar message to this a couple of weeks ago. So whenever he started bringing this back to me, I kept thinking, Lord, I already preached that message. It's like, preach it again. There's more stuff here. There's more things that they need to hear. In chapter 13, we're not going to start right there at the beginning. Let's pick up on the description of love in verse 4. Charity or love, I just like the word love, suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not. That means it's not boastful. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own. It is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love. Never. It never fails. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now here's a verse, right here, the next one that we're going to look at for a minute. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Stop right there and look at me. Think about all the examples Alan gave in the first service. He talked about his little boy and the way his little boy would run around and do things and act like a child. And I looked at this verse and I kept thinking all the time, why put this verse in the love chapter, Paul? Do you know what you're doing? Well, of course he does. Of course the Holy Ghost does. He put it here for a reason. He said, when I was a child, I ran around like Harrison. I did things like Harrison does. I enjoyed myself. If I wanted to have ice cream, I just ask Daddy Al, and Daddy Allen gave me ice cream. Now if we ask Alan, Alan, did you give Harrison all the ice cream that he ever wanted? The answer would be no. Harrison would probably want to eat the whole container. So there is a limit. So as a child, we're just thinking about ourselves. It's all about me. If I want to go sit on the front row, Daddy, I'm going to go sit on the front row and you can't catch me. Here, try, watch. You can't catch me because I'm a child. When Paul said there was a time that I was like a child, but now I put away childish things. Now, it's not about me anymore. I'll let that sink in. Now it's not about me. Before, I was a child. But now, since I'm grown up and mature, now why put that in the love chapter? Because as we grow and mature and transform into His image and become adults spiritually, guess what happens? We don't think like a child anymore. Our attention is not on us. It's not on the toys that we can accumulate through our faith. At some point, it's got to turn our attention has got to turn away from me to you. And if I'm ever going to get to the place of peace, I've got to stop looking at me and start looking at you. Because the love that Paul talks about in this chapter, he said, it's not boastful, it's kind. This is who God is. This is not love that just loves itself. It is for the purpose of loving others. Jesus went to the cross. Did he go to the cross for himself? No. He went to the cross for us because of the love that he has for us. What's our motivation? Why? Continue this transformation process. It's not comfortable at times. My flesh can cry and scream and act like a child, which it's very good at times. And if I let it, it'll go running off, trying to eat all the ice cream that it can eat, trying to do all the things, sit and watch hours of TV, do all the kind of things that a child would do. My spirit man has to grab it by the nape of the neck and say, sit down. It's time for some more transformation. No, I don't want to. I want to continue down this path of self-indulgence because I like it. And I want to be happy. Don't you want to be happy, Mark? We have a negotiation inside. Don't you want to be happy? Well, of course I want to be happy. But I'd rather be full of peace. I'd rather be full of peace. Because happiness is for today, but peace is for forever. How do I get there? Tell me, how do I get there? Because right now, all I am is in turmoil. We're going to get to that. So just stay with me a little bit. I'm going to have to use the example that I used the other day to help bring this point home. So if I could have my lovely assistant to come up here. Give her a hand, please. We're going to talk about, in this example, we're going to talk about surrender a little bit, because since surrender is the pathway to peace, and I only get to that place through the transformation that I go through the times of praying in tongues, through the times of meditating the Word. Little by little, more of me is getting turned over. See, for the longest time, I had this misconception, I need my box. I had this misconception, this box represents me for this example, okay? For the longest time, I thought, and even after I got saved in 1989, I thought, when I surrendered all and said, here, I surrender all. I give everything to you. That's how I felt. That's what I thought in my mind. God's got everything. He's got everything. I gave it all to Him. I gave it all to Him. And I went years really believing that. Honestly feeling that way in my heart. And yet, as I've told you before, there was so much time in the 90s especially that I would struggle trying to get to a place in my mind that I thought I was supposed to be in with ministry. I thought I would, and it doesn't, it's ministry, it's whatever it is in your life. Whatever it is, whatever you have as your goal in your life, for your life, and you're trying to get to that place, and you want God to bless your plan. I know all about that. Let me tell you what. I spent years wanting God to bless my plan because I liked the plan. The plan involved my happiness. It involved me having more than enough. Everything was all taken care of. And And I was going to have a big ministry. And really, if you got underneath the surface, there was a lot of self-exaltation there. I'm going to have a big ministry. Big. For the people? Yeah, that's it. For the people. And he kind of justified in the end. So here's really what was happening. And for the people that are listening, my assistant, my wife, is sitting on the platform. She's in the place of God. Now, you have to have the word God in front of her face because you can't, according to her, you can't look at God, otherwise you would die. So that's the reason for the banner in front of her face. So here is how I lived for all those years. God, I give you everything. I give you everything here. And then, I think it's stuck a little bit. That's all right. And then, as I kept praying in tongues, I kept realizing something. I had this string in my hand. And this string was that little bit of control that I left on my life. So really, had I given everything to him? No. I still had this little bit of reservation. I had an out plan. I had a plan B. When God didn't come through for me, I had plan B. I was taken care of because I knew I didn't want to end up starving somewhere. You know what I'm talking about? You know? I know I didn't want to end up penniless somewhere, so I always had this side plan right in my back pocket. And all the time, God's wanting me to surrender all, and I'm convinced myself I have surrendered all. And then I kept praying in tongues. And I kept transforming, and I did a little bit of this thing called fasting. And that even did even more transformation, and I felt more uncomfortable at times. At times, I just stopped doing that because it made me feel so uncomfortable. And all the time, I still had a hold of this little string. And in my mind, I justified my plans because, now follow me, because I thought I had given all to him. People live their whole lives this way, folks. They live their whole lives convinced, I've given all to Jesus. Are you sure? Oh, yeah. And when they sing that song on Sunday morning, I get all emotional. I surrender all. And I love that song. I wouldn't have had her sing it if I didn't love it. I love the song. But they're getting fooled, folks. They walk out that church door and they go live however they want to live. And they tell themselves, look, this is, you're happy, aren't you? It's got to be God. You ever thought about that? You're happy. It must be God. I remember being in that time. I remember when I had a hold of that string. And I remember times of turmoil. Because I kept praying. Now, some of you are going to identify with this right here. I kept praying. I kept praying in tongues. I kept changing. There was this internal battle on the inside of me. Turn loose, Mark. Turn loose, Mark. Turn loose. I don't want to turn loose. Turn loose, Mark. Just turn loose. Just give it all to me. Just give it all to me. I'm scared. I can't do that, Lord. I can't do that, Lord.
Mark.
What?
I have a good plan for you.
What?
Mark.
What?
I have a good plan for you.
You mean this isn't it? I thought this was it. And every time I looked to him, he would say something about like that. And all of a sudden, it doesn't take long. When he's repetitive like that, to realize you're not getting it. His plan was this: drop the rope, transform into my image, and trust me. Trust me. And the love that you have in order to go to this place that I want you to go, that love has to grow inside of you. That's the motivating force. It's the love. That's why Paul put that scripture in Corinthians. Stop being like a child. It's not about you. His plan for each one of us, we're not in the center of it. It's the people that He's sending us to. That's the center of His plan, not us. Think about that. He has a plan for your life, and that plan is the person or people on the other end that as you transform and change, He can send you out to those people to rescue them. You're already in. He's not worried about you. You're already in the family. It's the people out there. Your process of transformation, your process of changing, of growing and maturing, you do this for this reason, for somebody else. That's it. It's for somebody else. And you think, well, how can I sit in that chair and continue to pray? Because I don't really like other people. That's your problem. That's your problem. You don't like people. You like yourself. Hey, I know how that feels. I liked myself too. And gradually, I still like myself. But gradually, I'm starting to make some ground here on other loving other people more than I love myself. Wasn't that always a hard verse? I mean, honestly, tell the truth. Don't lie. Raise your hand. Isn't that a hard verse? You're going to love somebody else more than you love yourself. Only an honest person can answer that question. I can't do that. You can't. Not until you've transformed into His image. Not until that love is developed inside of you. Now you have the motivating force necessary to stay in that chair, to go through the process, because you've realized it's not about me. His plan's not about me. It's about the other people that I'm going to go and minister to so that they can go to heaven. Let me ask you this question. I'll just warn you up front. It's a trick question. How many of you want the will, plan, and purpose of God for your life? I want you to raise your hand. Hands going up all over the room. Okay, put your hands down. Now, how many of you think the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the letter to the Philippian church, was walking in the perfect will, plan, and purpose of God? Now remember, he wrote that from a Roman prison. Well, I don't know about that, Mark. I'm just looking down at my Bible now. I don't know, you know. Think about that. Now, he wasn't in the prison for the sake of being in the prison. And we're going to find out here in a few minutes. He was there for a reason. The reason happened to be the people that were going to be influenced because of him being there. Go ahead and open up to Philippians chapter 1. Thank you, my lovely assistant. Let's give her a hand. Didn't she do a good job? Philippians chapter 1. Here's a couple of statements that I jotted down from the first service because I could see the similarities. Alan said in the first service, you're not here for you. Does that sound familiar? He said, look behind you at who you're rescuing. Isn't that what we're talking about? The change that's necessary so that you can be put in the place, wherever it is, that you can be the person that God uses to rescue whoever it is that's out there. He can't send a person that's not been changed. He won't send you out there for you to be fodder for the enemy. He won't do that. He's not going to sacrifice you if it means a million people are going to get saved because you went, but it's going to cost you your salvation. He's not going to do it. He's going to wait until you're seasoned, until the change has been developed inside of you, the love is there, the compassion, true compassion for the people is there. And you're not full of a bunch of strongholds that the enemy's going to grab at a moment's notice and jerk your chain. You're free from that. Now you're ready to be used, Mark. Now, I can trust you, Mark. Come here. I can trust you. You're not going to hurt my lambs. Now you can go out. You're not full of a bunch of strongholds. Don't you think God's a little, if he gets tired of sending out the ministers with all the strongholds there that were they sent out? I don't know, but you saw them in the 80s and the 90s. They had all these kind of problems, and they were having big audiences, big crowds, miracles, and the next thing you know, they're deep in sin. He doesn't want that. What he wants is you changed, free of the strongholds, transformed, surrendered to him, walking in his peace. See, in Philippians, what we're going to find out here, chapter 4, Paul talks about the peace. He begins chapter 4 in the first verse by saying, therefore. Therefore, everything that he said leads up to this chapter where he talks about the peace. You want the peace? Go through chapters 1, 2, and 3. That's the avenue for the peace. And what's he talking about there? He's talking about surrendering your life, laying it down. You want to get to the place where there's peace. It is little bit by little bit, giving up more and more of yourself, surrendering it to God. And you can only do that by your level of transformation, by the amount of change that's happened. As you change, I give you, here's more of me, Lord. Here's some more of me, Lord. Okay, I can use you a little bit more now. I can use you a little bit more. Step by step, gradually, you're coming to that place. But it's not fast enough. I want it to happen now. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You're still a child. Okay? That's how children sound. No, I'm not a child anymore. I'm growing up. I'm willing to endure the changing process for the end result. What's the end result? The people that you love, my Father. That's what it's about. All right. You're in Philippians. I need to get there. Chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you. Hey, there is a good work going on inside of you. It's a good work. It is such a good work going on. But it just doesn't happen without your involvement, without you praying, without you spending time in the Word, that change will happen. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Keep in mind, please, this man is in prison. He's in prison. He's in prison. Hey, I don't like to hit my thumb with a hammer. I have an aversion to pain. He's in prison. And his attention is not on himself. That's the only way Paul could have wrote 1 Corinthians 13. It's because he had transformed to that place where he could actually write the words down. If you haven't transformed, you couldn't have done that. That's how he did it. He was at that place where he had that kind of love for others. Here he is in prison, and it's not about me. It's about you. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, if I'm the church receiving this letter, I'm thinking about him. And he's thinking about me. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Now look at this. You all are partakers of my grace. Stop there for a minute. Partakers of Paul's grace. I thought I was a partaker of the grace of God. Now, how in the wide world am I a partaker of his grace? I want you to think about that for a minute. The grace that Paul experienced in his walk with the Lord, the grace that enabled him to endure that prison, the grace that he walked in that brought about this change that enabled him to love these people to this degree, that grace, Paul's saying, hey, I receive this from the Lord. This grace you're partaking of now. The change you get to partake of. You get to partake. See, each one of us, we know, because we've heard Pastor Dave talk about this. There's grace for whatever office that God's called you to. There's grace for your calling. There's grace there. Whether or not you tap into it, that's up to you. Paul's saying, hey, I tapped into the grace of God. I tapped into it, and guess what? You are a beneficiary of what I've done. His grace is the one that empowered me. You're the one that gets to partake of it. You're the one that gets to enjoy the change because I surrendered all. My focus has been outward, not inward. The grace that God gave me for this is for your benefit. Here is the gift of my life. Folks, that's why we do this. That's why. It never gets any more difficult or any simpler than that. Let's go on. Jump down to verse 12 of chapter 1. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I'm here. The reason why I'm here, it's not because God's punishing me. It's not because God wants to teach me something. He threw me in this prison. No. The reason that I had to walk this path, the end result is the furtherance of the gospel. How so, Paul? Look at the next verse. Next verse says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Stop there. Hey, they know about me. They know about my bonds in the king's palace. I'm not here in this place and nobody knows about it? No. The King knows. I've been brought to this place. They can never say that they have never heard about a person willing to lay down their life. You can never tell that ever again. Because here he is willing. Here he is in that place for Jesus. Go to chapter 2. Oh, I can't go to, I gotta go pick up this verse here. Verse 21 in chapter 1. I can't go past this place. Paul writes this. He says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. I don't know what I'm going to choose. I could stay, or I could go. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. I'm going to stay here. I could leave. I could leave and it would be all right. I'm going to stay. Because I have such love for you. The love that has been developed inside of me has brought me to this place where I can lay down my life if I want to, or I can stay if I want to. I want to be at that place. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to live your life knowing that I am in the center of His plan and His will and His purpose? Don't you want to know that He is using me? He's able to speak through me to bless somebody else. Why? So they don't have to spend eternity in hell. Now there's a benefit for all of this. There's a benefit, and the benefit is this: that peace that passes all understanding. You see, as he wrote Philippians, and as I told you, he finished up in chapter 4 talking about the peace. But he's laying out a pathway for getting there. Go over and look at chapter 4 real quick. Therefore, my brethren, verse 1, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus, I beseech Sinti, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. And you see, I had this confused at one point. Because you look at the next verses. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report, any virtue, any praise, think on these things. I had that twisted around at times in my mind. I thought, okay, I want to be at peace. So it must be by controlling my thoughts. It must be that I need to have these kind of thoughts and that will produce the peace. No. No. The peace that he talked about came before he talked about what to set your mind on. So it's everything that he wrote leading up to that point that brings you to that peace. It's the surrender. It's the laying down of your life. That's what brings the peace. I don't read commentaries. My wife has a Bible that has a little excerpt at the front of each of the books. Kind of gives you a little brief synopsis of it. I looked at it for Philippians. I thought it was very interesting. The guy wrote, he goes, there really isn't a theme for Philippians. I looked at that and I thought, what? You see, that's, and here's a guy that as scholars got all kind of little initials at the end of their name. But they're looking at the Bible as a textbook. This is not a textbook. You don't find out what's in it by sitting down and reading it and dissecting the words. That will help you. But it's the teacher. It's the Holy Ghost who's going to show you what's in those words, what the meaning is behind those words. It's him and him alone. It's not another person. They'll help you, but he's the one that brings the revelation. And I looked at that and I said, this book is all about surrender. It's all about surrender. Here, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Instead of Paul writing, for example, chapter 2 ends in verse 30. Instead of him writing a verse 31 and saying, you need to surrender. He doesn't do that. So what does he do? He gives you an example from his own life. He gives you examples from other people's life of surrender. And then he brings it home and he says, this is how you get to peace. Alan talked about the faith this morning. That faith is so important. You can read there in 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse says, we have faith, we have hope, and we have love. And as I said before, the faith camp, I'll say the faith is that's the number one. That's it. You have faith, you have hope, and you have love. The greatest of these isn't faith, it's love. It's love. See, when you have the order right, you have the faith developing, guess what's going to happen? You're going to want to lay down your life for someone else, because the love is there to do that. And it's not a humanistic love. It's the love that, as Pastor Dave said, whenever you were born again, there is a little strand of DNA in your new nature. That is the love of God. And you're responsible for developing that love. And how do you do it? By private worship is a great way to do it. Just get alone with God and love on Him, and that will develop that love. And as that love develops, guess what? I want to lay down more of my life. I want to for your benefit. For your benefit. So that's what Paul's telling them about. He's saying, hey, I laid down my life and it brought me to this prison. And what happened was, it got all the way to the king's palace. They heard about me. They know about the truth. Now look at another example. In chapter 2, let me see where to start at. Okay, verse 19 of chapter 2. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man. Now look at this. You don't think he's talking about surrender? I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own. How many do that? All. All of them seek their own. All of them seek their own. Not the things which are Jesus Christ, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, He has served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Surrender. He's talking about surrender. He's not giving you a chapter and a verse and say, okay, you surrender. No. He's giving you the example of a person's life. He's saying, here's Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was nigh unto death because he was in obedience to what the Father had told him to do. Lay down his life if need be for the gospel. Again, he places that in chapter 2. And he walks us through it to chapter 4. And he says, therefore, after everything that I said, this is how you get to peace. This is it. You lay everything down. Let me give you one more example and I'll stop because I can tell you're about full. Chapter 3. Chapter 3 is his, all of his testimony of how he had all of these things going for him. I was the Hebrew of the Hebrews. Verse 6, chapter 3. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, to whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. Go to verse 18, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can close your Bibles now. So what has the Holy Ghost wanted to say in both of these services? Both of them. He's trying to show us the way to peace that everybody is wanting so desperately. It's not the way religion tells you, that you can have this happiness, that you can live however you want to. It's not that way. It's just simply not that way. Now there are people, don't misunderstand me. There are people that are going to be saved, live out their life here. They're going to be happy. And they're going to go to heaven. And you're going to look at it and say, that is just simply not fair. I wanted to be happy. I'm not saying I'm not happy. Please don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is this: my objective is not my own happiness. Do you get that? That's not the objective of my life, is my own happiness. The objective of my life is the surrendering, the giving of myself for someone else. That's the goal of it. It wasn't always that way. And I'm telling you something. Along this path, you're going to find that you're at different levels of your surrender. You may be at point zero today. And that's okay. It's okay. Don't kick yourself because you're there. Just realize that's not the destination. That's the beginning point. And realize this, that it's the journey along the way that you want to enjoy with Jesus. It's the journey along the way. We stop putting some false destinations out in front of you and thinking when I get to this place, everything will be better or changed or I'll be happier or something. No. Enjoy now. Enjoy it now. Well, I can't. Why can't you? Because I'm in turmoil. You're going to have to learn, just as Paul learned. When he was in that prison, I can assure you, he wasn't sitting there kicking himself. Why in the world did I, why am I here? Why did I do this? He wasn't doing that. Was he enjoying it? No. Was he at peace? Yes. Was he fulfilling the plan of God? He was going through it to the other side. Wherever you are today, you don't stay there. Especially if you've prayed yourself into a battle. That's when I can tell you, I've watched it, folks, week in and week out. People come here excited. They hear what we teach. They start doing it. They start praying. They start changing. They find themselves in the middle of this battle. This hell is going on all around them. And the next thing they know, I wasn't like this before. I'm going to go back over there and get out of this. Oh, okay, that's better. Well, you're still the same ugly person that you were before. The objective is not to stay that same ugly person. It's to change. If you really want to change, you got to go back and jump into that place and do the message and change and go through it and get to the other side. Can anybody say amen to that? That's how you get through it. And the reason why is because of the love for the people. The love that you love your brother more than you love your own self. I'm not there yet, Mark. I love myself a whole lot more. That's all right. That's all right. Just don't stay that way. Do you hear me? It's okay if today you're in total love with yourself, that you pamper yourself, that everything's about you. That's okay. Just don't stay there. There's a world going to hell every day. And there's someone, some people out there, wherever, if it's on a job, I don't know what it is, but there's someone out there, there's some group, there's someone that you can touch with your life once you get your eyes off of yourself. And their life will be changed. And then they can go through the process and they can change somebody else. And that's how we get everything all wrapped up and get out of here and get on with eternity. Amen? Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. Did you get anything out of that this morning? I hope you did. Because I truly believe, thank you, Jesus, I truly believe that that is the essence of what the Lord is wanting to say to us today. Hallelujah.